This past Monday was 8 years ago that my father passed from this life. And because of it, I was thinking about several things about Dad over the last week. And then some things were shared with me on Tuesday evening while a dear friend of mine, Ricky Berger, was here for our summer youth series, and he spoke that evening, and then we got to discussing some things afterwards. And because of that, I had this lesson on my mind. It comes from Mark chapter 5. If you want to go ahead and be turning there, we'll join there in Mark chapter 5 here in just a moment. Do you remember those days when you thought that your dad could do anything? I mean, absolutely anything. Maybe you still think that about your dad. I hope that you have such fond memories of him. Because dads do have that way of convincing us that they can do anything. They fix our toys, putting them together, making repairs on the things that we break. They fix all types of problems around the house, whether it be with plumbing or roofing or electrical needs. They are constructors and remodelers, mechanics, mowers of the lawn, farmers, gardeners, exterminators. Dads are the protectors, providers, as well as punishers. Dads can be counselors and chauffeurs. And at times they may have to fill in and be the chef, even if that does mean cereal for breakfast, Pop-Tarts for lunch, and candy for supper. You see, real dads have a great love for their children. And they have a great love for the mother of those children. But godly dads make great role models. And we want to take a look at one tonight that was a godly dad, a great role model for all dads, all fathers, but all of us in general. It's in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we want to ask the question of this text tonight. What did Jairus' daughter see in her dad? Like all dads, Jairus wore many hats. And although he was a ruler, he was a father first. And he never forgot that. Socrates once said, "Could I climb to the highest place in Athens, I would lift my voice and proclaim, 'Fellow citizens, why do you turn and scrape every stone to gather wealth and take so little care of your children, to whom one day you must relinquish it all?'" A judge who had had a great number of cases involving families and homes once said, "We adults spend far too much time preparing the path for our youth and far too little time preparing our youth for the path." Jairus was no doubt a busy man, an official, a ruler of the synagogue as he was. But he was a father first. And one of the very impressive things about Jairus was that he did not let other responsibilities take him away from being a father. That's why I believe it's important that we ask tonight this question concerning Jairus and his daughter. What did Jairus' daughter see in her dad? If you found or located Mark chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse number 21. When Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. Jesus had just crossed over that sea, Mark chapter 5 and verse number 1, into the country of the Gerasenes. The King James and New King James Version, if you're reading it, you'll find there in Mark 5 verse 1 the term Gadarenes, referring to the same area and the same people. There, Jesus healed a demonic before being told by the people of that area, that region, to leave them. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 17. And when we arrive at verse number 21, Jesus has just crossed back over that sea, and He's near to Capernaum once again. And a large crowd has gathered around Jesus, and He's there on the seashore. Verse 22, when one of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and on seeing Him fell at His feet and implored Him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And when He went off with him, and a large crowd was following Him and pressing in on Him. The synagogue official named Jairus made his way through that large crowd that had gathered there on the seashore surrounding Jesus. And as he made his way through the crowd, once he got to Jesus, he fell at His feet and he earnestly requested the attention and the care of Jesus as he was saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." Jairus' daughter saw in her dad a man that was unashamed to seek Jesus. He didn't send anyone else to do the father's job. He went himself. Here was a man, a very powerful man, a ruler of the synagogue, going to seek Jesus and thereby admitting his inability to heal his daughter. Yet he was unashamed. As part of the ruler's request was, he asked Jesus to come and lay his hands on his daughter so that she would get well and live. Get well is from a Greek word meaning to save, to keep, to rescue, to heal. Jairus could not save his baby girl from death. Jairus could not, with all of his power and all of his authority to rule, heal her body. So he sought out Jesus, the one who could save her from death, the one who could heal her. Dads, you should be seeking Jesus. In Matthew chapter 7, we read, beginning in verse number 7, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you not give him a snake? Will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him?" Dads have to swallow their pride sometimes to ask, to seek, and to knock. Dads, if you want your children to find Jesus, then you must seek Him in front of them. What does seeking Jesus involve? One might ask. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Now we know what it's like to be hungry. We know what it's like to be thirsty. No, maybe not to the extent that others in this world do, but we still have had the thought to cross our mind, "I'm hungry. I'm thirsty." And when we are hungry, when we are thirsty, we seek out something to satisfy us. But if we're hungry and thirsty for righteousness, if we're hungering and thirsting and have that great desire to live right before God or to see God's will be done, then we seek after something to satisfy that desire. And the only desire, the only thing that will fulfill that desire and satisfy it is God. Seeking after God. we seek Jesus through the Word. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. In Acts chapter 17, verses 10 and 11, it tells us of the Bereans who desired righteousness, searching the Scriptures daily. You see, our eyes ought to be fixed upon Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, as the Hebrew writer put it in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2. Jairus' daughter saw in her dad a man who was unashamed to seek Jesus. I hope you find the same to be true concerning your father. I hope that you find the same to be the case for you concerning your children, that they see you seeking after Jesus. But Jairus' daughter not only saw a man who was unashamed to seek Jesus in her dad, but she saw a man that was unashamed to receive Jesus. Let's look at Mark chapter 5, beginning in verse 35. While he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue's official, saying, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore?" But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe." And he allowed no one to accompany him except for Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the synagogue official and saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? For the child has not died, but is asleep." They began laughing at him. But putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered into the room where the child was. While Jesus was still speaking with the woman from the interruption in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 34, someone from the house of Jairus comes to report the news. "Your daughter has died." Think of the agonizing thought that may have crossed his mind, that his daughter is now dead. Why is she now dead? Did he entertain the thought that if the woman that Jesus stopped to heal in verses 25 to 34 had not caused such a commotion, not caused such a distraction, that Jesus would have probably arrived at his house in time to save his daughter? Did he entertain the thought similar to that of Martha concerning Lazarus in John chapter 11? "Lord, if you had not delayed your coming, she would have not died." Mark records that the messengers ask, "Why trouble the teacher anymore?" Luke says the messengers told Jairus, "Do not trouble the teacher anymore." The Greek is very strong here, indicating that the messengers from the house of Jairus had abandoned all hope. They knew that the daughter had died and was bringing news to Jairus that she had died, and they had abandoned all hope of life. Thus they may have said both. They may have asked, "Why do you trouble the teacher anymore? Don't trouble the teacher anymore. Your daughter has died. Let's move along. Jairus, let's come home. Let's begin to set in place and carry out the plans for the funeral." I wonder if Jairus at that point began to sense the hope of life for his daughter drifting away and fleeing from him. But Jesus overheard what was being spoken, and he delivered the good news to Jairus. "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe," verse 36. And as Jesus and his companions accompanied Jairus to his home, they may have heard the flute players, Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. They may have heard the crowd and the noisy disarray and disorder. And as they drew even closer to the home, they may have heard the weeping and the wailing and lamenting of the people. But Jairus had not given up hope. Therefore, he accepted Jesus into his home. And that's the second thing we want to point out. That Jairus' daughter saw in her father a dad, a man who was willing to receive Jesus. And entering into that home, Jesus spoke, saying, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." The people were gathered there at the home already for an obvious reason. Luke chapter 8 and verse 53 points out that they knew she was dead. The people began to laugh at Jesus because of the remark that he made in saying, "She is not dead, but is asleep." Then Jairus allowed Jesus to remove the obstacles from his home. Jesus sent everyone out, allowing only Peter, James, and John, and the mother and father of the girl to remain inside. And from that, we ask the question, who is in your house? Who is it that you allow to enter into your home? Are they a distraction to you following Jesus? Or do they help you and your family to follow Jesus? Do they help you and your family in seeking after righteousness? When Woodrow Wilson was president at Princeton University, he spoke these words to a parents group. He said, "I get many letters from you parents about your children. You want to know why we people up here in Princeton can't make more out of them or do more with them. Let me tell you the reason we can't. It may shock you a little, but I am not trying to be rude. The reason is that they are your sons, reared in your homes, bone of your bones, blood of your blood. They have absorbed the ideals of your homes. You have formed and fashioned them. They are your sons. In those malleable, moldable years in their lives, you have forever left your imprint upon them." Jairus and his family spent time with God at home. He allowed Jesus to come into their home. We receive Jesus into our homes through the Word. James chapter 1 and verse number 21, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the implanted Word which is able to save your souls." Jairus exhibited humility in acknowledging that he could not heal his daughter or save her life. He was also humble in seeking the help of Jesus and receiving Jesus into his home. Jesus is the one who can save our souls if we will humble ourselves, seek Him, and receive Him. But that's not all that Jairus' daughter saw in her father. Jairus' daughter saw in her dad a man that was unashamed to love her. In verses 21 and 23, he went out to get help. And as we said earlier, he did not send anyone else to do the father's job. Jairus was a ruler, but on that day, he set his ruling responsibilities aside to continue his responsibilities as a dad. A dad who loved his daughter. A dad that was willing to seek Jesus and implore Him earnestly with much begging, asking several times, very strong and urgently, pleading for the help of Jesus. And when the messengers came and they delivered that message and they had given up all hope, Jairus showed love for his daughter once again by clinging to hope. despite the message, despite the weeping and the wailing that was heard coming from the house, despite the funeral flute that was playing, Jairus held on to hope of life for his daughter. The love which Jairus had for his daughter did not shrink back due to embarrassment once inside the home. He didn't shrink back due to embarrassment by the thought that everyone was gathered for a funeral. They were gathered because they knew that the daughter had died. And then Jesus would make such a presumptuous statement as, "The daughter has not died. She is not dead, but she is asleep." Jairus didn't shrink back due to fear of rejection when all the people began to laugh at what Jesus had pronounced. No, Jairus had love for his daughter. A love that was there, verses 41 through 43. Backing up to verse 40, they began laughing at him and laughing at Jesus. And putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. Verse 41, taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astonished. And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. And he said that something should be given to her to eat. Dads need to be what they can for their children. They need to take care of the needs of their children physically, but more importantly, spiritually. Too often parents spell love T-H-I-N-G-S. When children voice their dislike in their parents, parents most often rebut, "But I've bought you this, and I've bought you that, and I've provided this for you, and I've provided that for you. If I didn't love you, you wouldn't have any of these things." The main problem with parents spelling love, T-H-I-N-G-S, is a failure on their part to be on the same page with their children. Because kids spell love, T-I-M-E. Time. Jairus took the time to set aside his ruling responsibilities at the synagogue. He took off the hat of synagogue official and continued to wear the hat that was underneath it, the hat of father, the hat of dad. You see, if you're too busy for your children, the fact is you're just too busy. If I may say something from a counseling standpoint with the children that talk on a regular basis concerning their homes, most often it is pointed out that they want more time with their mothers, more time with their fathers. You are not in the best position to determine if you are too busy for your children. Let me say that again, and listen to it closely. You are not in the best position to determine if you are too busy for your children. The one occupying that position, the one occupying that place, is the children. For dads especially, heed the example of Jairus. Follow after God's teaching in the Word concerning love for your children. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart." Jairus' daughter saw in her dad a man who was willing to seek Jesus in front of her, a man who was willing to receive Jesus, and a man who was willing to love her enough to put his responsibilities aside to focus upon her, especially in her time of need. Jairus left a good example of what it means to be a dad. Question is, will we follow that example? Fathers, you have a tremendous responsibility towards your children, because the first idea that many children have of what God is like correlates directly with what they see in their physical father. So what do they think about God when they look at you? When they consider what it was like growing up under you? Take care of your children physically, but take care of them spiritually as well. Jairus was a dad that sought Jesus, who received Jesus, and who loved his child. Maybe someone here tonight is seeking Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 3, Paul wrote, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." In order to receive those blessings from the Father, one must be in Christ. One is found to be in Christ when one has done the Father's will. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Jesus pronounced in John chapter 6 and verse number 40 what the will of the Father is when he said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up at the last day." The will of the Father is that everyone come to know His Son, and that everyone come to believe in His Son. In Luke chapter 15, verses 18 and 21, the prodigal son came to an understanding concerning his situation and was moved to change it, saying, "I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight.'" Verse 21 of Luke 15 records, "And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" When we recognize the sin that is in our life and how it has separated us from God, we recognize that we are not worthy to be called His son. But repentance is acknowledging that sin and turning from it in mind and heart and action. Matthew 10, verse 32, Jesus said, "Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven." When we have that change of heart and the change of mind and the change of action, the first step that we go into is confessing Christ to be Lord and Savior, to be the Son of God. And Jesus has told us, if we want to be pleasing to the Father, then we must do what is the Father's will. When Jesus was baptized, Matthew chapter 3, verse number 17 declares that a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You can be well pleasing to your heavenly Father tonight by being baptized, being obedient to the Father's will, by carrying out the commands of His Son, Jesus the Christ. Maybe you are a child of God, but you've wandered away and it's time to come home again. The parable of the lost sheep concludes with these words. Luke 15, verse 7. I tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who need no repentance. At the end of Jesus' discussion concerning the lost coin, He taught, Luke chapter 15, verse 10, in the same way I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. If there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents, then who is in the presence of those angels to be showing forth that joy? The parable of the lost son reveals the reason for the great joy. Luke chapter 15, verse 32, he said, "We had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, was lost and has been found." We need to return to Jesus. And tonight, if it's the case that you need to return to Jesus as a child of His that has drifted away, then we beg with you, please, please do it tonight. If you're one who has not yet obeyed Christ, to put Him on in baptism, fulfilling the will of the Father, then we beg and plead with you to respond. And if you need our help, seek our help to understand the will of God and to be obedient to the Father, and please, we beg of you tonight to make it known what is your desire so that all can say concerning you that you are one who seeks Jesus, who receives Jesus, and who loves God's children. Tonight, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you as we stand and as we sing to encourage you.